Welcome to the July 30th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. We have a special podcast for you this week. Technical difficulties interfered with the recording of our morning worship service. However, we are pleased to share our evening contemporary service that we call Life, Living in Faith Every Day. Cindy Johnson is our Life Worship Coordinator, and you will hear her music and message as part of this evening's podcast. If you're in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our Life Worship Service.
Good evening. How are y'all doing? Good. We are so excited that you're here. And before you get seated, I want you to look at somebody. You can go ahead and sit down, I guess. But look at somebody across your table and just ask them, what was their favorite toy when they were growing up? And y'all just have a deep conversation about that for a second. What was your favorite thing to play with when you were little? All right, did we have any Cabbage Patch Kid fans? Oh, yeah. I had like 100 of those. All right, how about Lincoln Logs? Yeah? Legos? Woo! Legos? Okay. Yes! You like Legos? All right, awesome. Well, as you can tell, we're gonna be talking about childhood tonight. Exciting. Some of you are wondering all about what these toys up here were about. We're going to be talking about that tonight, but we're excited that you are here. And I have like 100 announcements, so I'm going to go ahead and make those really quickly so you'll know. First of all, what is this week? Vacation Bible School. All right, and there is Vacation Bible School for everyone. If you are any age at all, there's a place for you at Vacation Bible School. And it starts tomorrow night, 5:30, supper in here. And then the opening assembly is at 6, and it goes until 8 o'clock. But the youth have extra special VBS from 8 to 10 each night, okay? So don't forget that. And because of VBS, there will be no Wednesday night Bible study, okay? Because there's going to be VBS, but it will pick back up next week. Also, next Sunday night for the life service is going to be the Mountain Outreach report. And they're going to be sharing about their time in Kentucky. And we're going to be inside again because they're going to be using slides and things like that. So next Sunday night, life inside. And then the last thing, on Thursday, August the 10th. Now, this is a big deal. This is a U-Turn reunion concert. So anyone who has ever been in U-Turn is invited to come and play. And then the rest of you guys, we want you to come and listen. Thursday night, August 10th at 7 o'clock is going to be U-Turn concert. And tickets are probably going to be sold out real soon. So you'll want to go ahead and make your plans for that. But are y'all excited to be here, ready to worship the Lord? Yes. All right. There's some papers on your tables there. And so we just invite you to sing with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name in land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing. Should be joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing. Everyone sing, yeah. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands for the joy.
With Your glory. And Lord, we are so honored to be able to approach You and to be able to sing to You and to be able to ask You for direction. Lord, we're honored to be able to love You. I pray for each person that is in this room right now that You would soften their hearts to Your Spirit. And we ask that Your Spirit would freely reign in this place and that You would teach us, that You would change us, that You would make us the men and women that You have called us and created us to be. Father, that's the desire of our hearts. That's why we're here. And we ask that You reign. And we ask that You work in a mighty way in our lives. In Christ's perfect name we pray. Amen.
Showed His very own love to sinners just like me. He sent His own Son, His name. name is Jesus. He died to make me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Jesus said to let my light shine for all the world to see. And as they see light pierce the darkness, they will be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name.
Let's sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name.
Loved us still. Blessed Jesus.
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Would you bow your heads for just a moment, and I want you just to pray silently. Whatever needs are on your heart right now, you just take them to the Lord, and then I'll close this in a moment.
Father God, we come together here. There are many different needs, many different joys, many different fears, and Lord, we come to you as your children. And we know and we are so thankful that you are our Father. As we come to you and bring our requests and our desires to you, and also we want to bring our love. And we want to tell you how much we love you and how grateful we are for your children. And as our Father, we have many, many things that you want to teach us. And I pray that right now you would help us to be receptive to your truths. We ask this in Christ's name.
Growing up is really very hard. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. Growing up is really, really hard. And when you think back on your childhood, some of you probably had really great memories. Some of you probably had.
But this week, as Raymond shared with me what he was going to be talking about, and I know this. Not so much what you want to be, but how you want to be. And what kind of person you want to be when you grow up. And so all of us in this room, no matter what age we are still, thank you, we are all still in the process of growing up. And as I've been thinking about this and praying about this, God has shown me some really neat things about growing up. And some really neat things about our childhood. And I know that there are some things, and you'll understand what I mean in just a minute. There are some things that we need to leave in our childhood. But I believe that there are also some things that we can learn from our childhood. And so tonight, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at four things that we need to leave in our childhood and four things that we need to learn from our childhood. And so the first thing that we need to leave in our childhood is the me mentality. And what I mean by that is, have you ever been around a child and realized that they really believe that the whole world revolved around them? And a lot of times it does. A lot of times houses are run by the children. And that is something that we need to leave in our childhood. Let me read something to you that I found. This is called Property Laws of a Toddler. All right. Number one, if I like it, it's mine. Number two, if it's in my hand, it's mine. Number three, if I can take it from you, it's mine. Number four, if I had it a little while ago, it's mine. Number five, if it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Number six, if I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. Number seven, if it looks just like mine, it's mine. Number eight, if I saw it first, it's mine. Number nine, if you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And number ten, if it's broken, it's yours. Now, how many of you have seen a kid act like that? How many of you have acted like that as you were a kid? Yeah, we all did that. We all thought, me, this whole world is about me. Everything should revolve around me completely. And as adults, the hard thing is, we don't leave that attitude behind. As we're growing up, we think we're becoming big and mature and strong in our faith. But when we stop and think about it, how much of your day really still revolves around that me mentality. And I want to read to you Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4 says this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And the thing I love about that verse is it says each of you should look not only to your own interests. The Bible does not say it is wrong to look after yourself. The Bible doesn't say don't ever worry about yourself. The Bible says look not only to the things that you need to take care of for you, but it says also look to the interests of others. And sometimes when we're little kids, we don't do that. Psalm 119:36 is a verse that has just, God has been piercing my heart with this verse over the last few months. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Do you realize that every decision that you make every day has some sort of motivation behind it? You're doing it for a reason. And if you're ready to grow up, you've got to stop and say, all right, am I doing this for a selfish reason? Or am I doing this because this is what the Lord's really called me to do? Or am I doing this because I see a need and I'm trying to help meet that need? If you're ready to grow up, you got to leave that me mentality in your childhood. The second thing, and you're going to laugh, you're going to like this. The second thing that we have to leave behind in our childhood is our night-night necessity. And let me explain to you what a night-night is. This is a night-night. This was, and I guess still is, my favorite blanket of all times. And when I was little, as you can tell, this went everywhere. And the world was completely okay as long as Cindy had her night-night. Okay? And anytime we went anywhere, that had to be packed, that had to be taken. Mom and Dad can tell you. I mean, you know, we still know where it is to this day. I told my mom, I said, I need my blanket. She said, it's in the top of the closet in a box. I mean, she knew exactly where it was because it's very important. And when you were a kid, did you have something that you just clung to, you had to have? Did you have a blankie or a little teddy bear? My little nephew has a little teddy bear that's dressed like a bunny rabbit, but he carries that everywhere he goes. And the world is in complete chaos when Elijah cannot find that little bear. And do you realize that we still do that sometimes when we're adults? We may not have a physical object that we're trying to cling to, but as you're growing up, what is it that you really are clinging to? Is it adults? Is it that job that you will not let it go? You know God's calling you to do this, and you know that there's a better opportunity, but you are just clinging to that job because you have a title, and you like that title, and you just won't let it go. Teenagers, are you clinging to the fact that you got to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? It doesn't matter if they're good or bad. It doesn't matter what kind of person they are. You have just got to be dating someone. Is that your night-night? Is that what you are clinging to? Is that what you're holding on to? The perfect clothes? The perfect car? The perfect house? The right neighborhood? Adults, sometimes you want to have that perfect child. And the one that's really hard for us, what a lot of us cling to, is that mask that we put on. We're too proud or we're too scared to admit that we might need some help or that something might be going on. We're just too afraid. But you know what the scripture says? Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 63:8 says, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Psalm 3:8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And as we're growing up, we laugh at kids and the fact that they have to have that thing to hold on to because they really think it's going to make things better. And they really do sleep better when they have that. And they really think that life is okay as long as they have that one thing. But guys, we're guilty of the same thing. The Bible clearly says some trust in all these other things. Some trust in these blankets and these dolls and these jobs and these boyfriends. But what you really have to cling to is the Lord. Where is He calling you to be? So if you are ready to grow up, you got to get rid of that me mentality. You got to get rid of that night-night necessity. And yes, the next one all starts with the same letter too. And in case you're wondering, it's the seesaw syndrome. Now, as I'm going through, I'm going to kind of share with you how this all came to be. But at first, this was the seesaw that I had. And it is obviously very, very small. So I was extremely excited when we went to the nursery and found this. Brian's like, there's a seesaw in there. I said, you're kidding me. Get it. We got to bring it in here. We got to have this seesaw. Because when you're on a seesaw, now how many of you did that when you were kids? Played on a seesaw. Yeah. Okay. And it's pretty fun, right? You're up in the air and you're flipping around and you just have no idea. And it is just this, it's just complete excitement. But what happened if your friend got off? You were toast, weren't you? You were on the ground and you were crying and your teeth clanked together and you just didn't know what happened to you. because there's no stability when you're on a seesaw. When you're dependent on somebody else and they change their mind and decide to go off in another direction, you are on the ground. Or maybe you were just walking by a seesaw and somebody fell off or something happened. When you're around that instability, you know, that's really hard as a kid. But we have that same problem with instability as adults. We have no idea what we believe, and so we don't ever take a stand on anything. When we're with this group of people, we act like this, and we say we believe this. And then when we're with this group of people, oh, yeah, that sounds good too. Yeah, I'll go with that. Or somebody asks you a question about church, or someone asks you a question about God, and you have no idea. And so you're just kind of on this seesaw. One preacher says this, and one preacher says this, so I'll just kind of go with both. If you're ready to grow up, you got to leave that behind. If you're ready to be mature, you have got to decide what you believe, and you have got to take a stand. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain." Stand firm. Are you able to stand firm? Do you know what you believe? And there's some tough issues out there. And you're going to be faced with more and more tough issues the older you get. It doesn't get easier. You got to know what you believe. Well, how do you do that? How do I know what I believe? You got to go to the Word. And you got to live in the Word. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." You guys probably had an instance this week, or some of you may have an instance in this coming week, where somebody questioned your values. Or somebody said, "Well, why do you do that way? Or why do you act like that?" And if you're on the seesaw, you're not really going to have a good answer for them. But if you have, as this verse says, set apart Christ as Lord, then you're going to be able to tell them why you believe. And you're going to be able to step off of that seesaw. But see, here's the thing. If you're on a seesaw with that other person, remember how we said if you jump off, they're going to hit the ground? The Bible says to do that with gentleness and respect. So when that person comes up to you and says, "Well, we used to go hang out at this place all the time together, and why are you saying we can't do that anymore?" You can't just jump off and yell at them. You got to say, "Well, here's why. Let me tell you why. Because I believe that the Lord has told me not to do this anymore." And that may sound weird and that may feel weird, but if you're ready to grow up, then you got to take that step. And you got to gently tell them, here's what the Word says, and here's what I'm going to choose to believe. Know what you believe. Don't just go with the flow. You know, kids have a best friend on Monday, and then on Tuesday they hate that person, and then on Wednesday they're best friends again, and then on Thursday they don't even remember their name. You know, kids are like that because they're just kind of on this woo. As adults, we got to put that behind us. As adults, we got to get rid of the me mentality. We got to get rid of the necessity for a night. And we've got to get rid of that seesaw syndrome. We got to leave it behind. It's cute when you're a kid, but when you're an adult, it's not cute anymore. It's time for us to grow up. And the fourth thing, and this is my favorite, and I have to tell y'all what a wonderful dad I had. I went to the mall on the other day. I don't remember what day it was. And Raymond had told me what he was going to be talking about on Sunday. And so I had been praying about what God would have me share. And I decided I was going to go to the mall and observe kids. I thought that's a good place to go because there's like a million kids there. And I'm just going to kind of watch. So I went to Subway, and I was sitting at Subway at the mall. And I got this Subway napkin out, and I wrote out this whole message on a Subway napkin. So I brought it home, was sharing it with Mom and Dad. She was like, "Is that on a Subway napkin?" I said, "Yes, it is." And that's just kind of how it happens sometimes. So I'm sitting in the Subway booth, and I called Mom, and I said, "Mom." And I told her, I said, "I need the name of a baby food that has two names and they both start with the same letter." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "I will tell you later, but I just need you to go find this." So Dad went to the store and he found baby biter biscuits. Now, has anybody ever seen these before? Okay. And they're little things that babies use when they're teething. And, you know, y'all were picking on me on Wednesday night because I didn't enter the staff cookie contest, but this is my entry for the staff cookie contest. So if anybody wants any, you can come up here and eat them. My dad and I actually tried one, and they're quite tasty. If anybody wants to eat one afterwards. But if you are ready to grow up, you got to leave behind the baby biter biscuits. Now, what I mean by that is if you had a little baby and you bring this baby in here and you set down a steak in front of them, they are not going to know what to do. And even if they did decide to pick it up and put it in their mouth, which they probably would, they wouldn't be able to chew it and digest it like they're supposed to. Because little babies have different needs. Little babies need different kind of nourishment than we as adults do. And so that's why they start off with things like this. These little biter biscuits while they're teething, and the milk and the little mushed up food and all that stuff is because that is what they need. But when you guys start growing up, when we start growing up, our bodies are changing. Our bodies need different nourishment. Our bodies need more nourishment. We need more energy than a little baby does. We don't get to take 8 naps every day. Your body changes. And the same is true spiritually. If you are ready to grow physically, you got to change your food. But if you're ready to grow spiritually, you also have to change your food. You have to change your spiritual food, what you're eating. Hebrews 5:12 through 14 says, in fact, and let me tell you before I read this, the writer of Hebrews is actually reprimanding his readers. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The writer was saying, look, people, you should be teaching the word of God. You have had long enough to know and to learn that this should be so inside of you that you should just be spilling out and teaching all kinds of people about the Lord. But he said, but you're not doing that. You are still on your biter biscuits because you're still having to have somebody teach you the things you learned when you were 5 years old all over again. And he's saying, what's up, guys? And so I pose the same question to you. Are you still eating your biter biscuits, or are you eating the meat of God's word? John 3:16 is an awesome verse, but if that's the only verse you can quote, it's probably time for you to move away from the biter biscuits. It's probably time for you to start learning another verse. And I'm not yelling at y'all. I'm saying the same thing to me. And God has really been convicting me this week as he's been showing me all this stuff. Because we say we want to grow, and we say we want to have a strong church, and we want the life service to grow, and we want to be a faithful witness. But if we do, and we're still acting like kids, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So let me see if you've been listening. It's time for us to grow up. We got to leave behind the what? Me mentality. And we got to leave behind the night necessity. We got to leave behind the seesaw syndrome. We got to leave behind the biter biscuits. Very good. You're doing really good. All right. So that's 4 things that I think we need to leave in our childhood. But I also think that there's 4 things we can learn from children, or learn from our childhood. And the first thing that I think we can learn is to imitate. Have you ever had a kid that just imitated you? They started walking like you and talking like you and acting like you. Because kids act like whatever they see. Kids act like whoever they're around, which is why we have to be really careful what we say and what we do around children, right? Because you know good and well they're going to pick up the wrong thing from you. You're going to slip one time and say something, and that is exactly what they're going to remember. Children imitate what they see. But the cool thing about that is actually something really neat for us to learn as adults. But we have to be really careful what we imitate. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Sometimes you can tell who a child belongs to because they act just like them. Have you ever seen that? You can say, you are your mama's child. You know, because they have the same attitude, the same personality as their mom or as their dad. Would somebody say that about you in regards to Christ? Would they say, man, you act just like your heavenly father? Wouldn't that be the greatest compliment anybody could have ever given to you? Warren Barfield has a song that says, I want to be mistaken for Jesus. And I think that's such a great concept to think, man, you act so much like the Lord that I can just tell you are imitating God. That's a desire of my heart. Are you imitating Christ? 3 John 11 says, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does evil has not seen God. Are you imitating your father? The second thing we can learn from kids is to include other people. Children are often really, really good about including everybody in their circle of friends. I know when I was in first grade, my best friend was of another color. And, you know, sometimes we think, oh, gosh, you know, I don't know about all that. And some people would think that that's totally weird. But children are really good. If you were there, they don't care what color you are. They don't care what age you are. They just want you to play with them. And I saw this a lot when I went to Ecuador. As soon as we set foot in that child development center, those kids were on us like you would not believe. They didn't know our names. They couldn't even understand what we were saying to them. But they were just including us in their games. And one of the translators came up to me and said, can you teach us how to play duck, duck, goose? And I said, yes, I can. And we sat down and we played duck, duck, goose and we had a ball. And they all picked me because they didn't really understand. So I just ran and ran and ran. But they were including me in their game and it didn't matter that I was 5 feet taller and totally different color and speaking a weird language. They didn't care. They were including me in their game. They were loving me. James 2:1 says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. As adults, don't we show favoritism? And that's hard. And that's something that's really hard for us, especially once we get in our careers and we think, okay, I know that guy can really help me move up in this company. Or in my case, I know that that guy owns a record label. I need to be his friend, you know? That's very hard for us to fight, but we do. We have to realize, you know what, that is a man or that is a woman made in the image of God, and God has told me not to show them favoritism. When you're at school, you know that that dude is the most popular dude, so it would really be neat to sit with him at lunch as opposed to the weirdo that nobody talks to. But if you're ready to grow up, you got to say, you know what? The Bible says don't show favoritism. And in fact, it doesn't only say don't show it. It says a few verses later, but if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. So if you're going to grow up, you got to learn to imitate. You got to learn to include. When we were in Greenville a couple weeks ago doing a Missions Connect project, doing a World Changer project, we were building a house across the street, and because my arms are goofy and I couldn't really do anything, I decided to walk across the street, and I saw this little boy out in the front yard, and he just had on a little pair of shorts, and all he had to play with was a fourth of a cup measuring cup. That's all he had, and he was just digging in the dirt, just digging in the dirt. And I walked over, and there, you know, his grandmother was sitting on the porch, and I told her who I was, and, you know, we said, hey, can we come over and play with him? And Brian, I think, was with me, and we went walking over, and we knelt down in the dirt, and we started playing with those little, with that little boy. His name was Jameer. And everything you asked him, he'd say, yup. You want us to do this? Yup. And that's all he would say. That's all he said the whole time we were there was, yup. But we knelt down, and he walked over to us, and then we came over with a camera. We said, can we take your picture? And he said, yeah. Yep. So he came over, and he, like, sat on my knee, didn't know who I was, but came over and sat down because he was including me. How beautiful would that be if we would do that as adults? It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what you smell like. It doesn't matter where you live. I'm going to include you in my life because that is what God has called me to do. Mark 16:15 says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. To all creation. Not just the people that look like you. Not just the people that are cool. And we know this, guys. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But if we're going to grow up and we're going to work on being those people that we want to be, we've got to learn to imitate, and we've got to learn to include. The third thing, we've got to learn to imagine. Kids have the greatest imagination of anybody in the world. Would you agree with that statement? When we grow up, we become way too serious. Now, being serious is good sometimes. But we get in our heads that by the time we're 25, we have to be married and have a minivan and have a house with a white picket fence and 2.5 kids. And I still don't know what that means, but that's what they say. You know, you're supposed to have all of these things. And we get in our heads that this is exactly what is supposed to happen. And I think that God says, no, you know, that passion that I put inside of you for such and such, I put that there for a reason. I didn't put that there just for you to let go of it. When I was little, I cannot tell you how many days of school my mom and dad had to go to every year because I played school 24 hours a day when I was at home. I had a chalkboard, I had a little holder for my chalk, and we played math and we played English. And dad didn't do very well in school, actually. But we played all the time. All the time, because I just really believed in my heart that I was a teacher and I was totally in charge. And they would sit there so patiently with me because I would just dream this stuff up. I was a teacher. When's the last time that you at your age sat down and just dreamed for a second? If you could do anything in the world, money is not an object, what would you do? And I'm not saying that all of you should go in the morning and quit your jobs and, you know, buy a Ferrari or whatever. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, are there some dreams and desires that God has put inside of you that maybe you've kind of put away, that maybe you need to look at again? Because listen to what this says. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine. Well, one thing that that verse says to me is that he wants us to imagine. It doesn't say all that you could hope for or imagine until you reach 12 years old and then you need to quit imagining. It doesn't say that. What is the greatest thing you can imagine? And realize that God has more in store for you than that. That blows my mind and that excites me. And that makes me want to sit down and dream. And once you do sit down and have those few dreams and say, "God, here's something that I really would like to do," then ask him to purify that desire. That's what I do. I say, "God, all right, I have the desire for such and such. But if that is not of you, then just take it out of my heart totally. But if it is a desire from you, then just let it grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then make it happen. Because if it is a desire that is from him, he will make it happen. Because he says, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed." And Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord. If you were asking him, "God, you put your desires in me. God, you purify the desires that I have. Take away the ones that are wrong. I'm delighting in you and I want to follow your dreams." Then it says he's going to make it happen. That's exciting to me. So maybe tonight on your way home, talk to your spouse, talk to your parents, whatever. What is that dream that you have? I love to ask people that question and just see what they say. Some people know exactly and some people look at you like, "What are you talking about? I don't know." You know, what is that dream that you have? So if we're going to grow up, what's the first one? We've got to learn to imitate. Then we have to learn to include in the third one. Imagine. All right. So I'm sitting at the mall, right? I have my three eyes and I was like, I need one more. And I could not think. So I pulled up my Bible and looked in the concordance and I saw the word inquire. And I thought, well, that's a good one. I was like, kids are very inquisitive. Kids ask a ton of questions. So, you know, I had been praying. I was like, God, I need that fourth eye. So I'm going to be real honest. I went into the bathroom at Sears. All right. So I'm in the bathroom at Sears, and in the bathroom at Sears is mom, her two children, and then her mother. So three generations. We had grandma, mom, and two kids. All right. So they're in there, and the one kid's like in diapers, really little, and one's like, the little boy was probably like four or five. So while we're all in there, this other lady walks in, and the family commented on how pretty this lady's suit was. And this lady said, "Oh, thank you so much, but I just busted my zipper." She was like, "I'm on my way back to work, but I got to go home and change clothes." And so she's sharing this stressful event that she's had. She had to pin her suit back together and all that. So she said, "I busted my zipper." So she leaves. And the little boy says, "What did she say?" And the mom said, "Well, she said she busted her zipper." And the little boy said, "What does it mean to bust your zipper?" You know, and I thought, that's a great question. He doesn't know what that means, you know. And so all this is happening. And so grandma starts trying to explain, well, you know how sometimes, you know, and I thought, how is she going to explain this? And she tries to explain this to this little kid. But right there in the bathroom of Sears, God said, inquire. That is the other eye. Because kids do that all the time. And sometimes you're scared to death of what they're going to ask. You know, sometimes you are just petrified that they're going to ask the wrong question at the wrong time. But kids are great because if they want to know, they ask. But when we become adults, we become too smart to ask questions from God or from anybody else. We do not want our coworker to know that we do not know how to fix this problem. We do not want our church family or our pastor to know that we are having a situation we don't know how to deal with. We are all geniuses and we don't ever want to ask anybody any questions. And I pray that I'll have a teachable spirit. Because you know, you're here because there's still a lot for you to learn. If you already knew it all, you'd just be in heaven already. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him." If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. And not only does God say, "Hey, you can ask me," but he says, "I don't find fault when you do ask me." God likes it when we ask him. When you say, "God, I have no idea how to fix this situation," he says, "Great, I do. Let me tell you." So what I've been waiting for is for you to admit that you didn't have a clue. So what is it in your life that you are struggling with and that you're wondering about? Because it's time for you to ask God. If you're ready to grow up, you're ready to take that next step, it is time for you to say, God, what do you want me to do? Isaiah 8:19, this is such a cool verse, says, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? We ask everybody else. We ask mom and dad, and we ask our friends, and there's nothing wrong with that. But have you asked God? Have you asked Him? Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. You got to learn to imitate, include. You've got to learn to inquire. You've got to learn to imagine. Are you doing these things? Because it's time. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. Where are you? Maybe one of the things that I mentioned that we should leave in our childhood, maybe you're struggling with one of those things. Maybe you realize you are on that seesaw, or, you know, you really are all about yourself. Or maybe you're realizing that you're clinging to things you don't need to be clinging to. Maybe you're still eating that baby food. Or maybe you've just quit imagining or quit asking. Where are you in your life? And I'm going to be quiet, and I want you to deal with God right now. Let Him deal with you. Just speak to Him. If you're ready to take that step and you're ready to grow up, then He is ready to grow you. So as you pray individually, ask God how He wants you to grow. God, how do I grow into that person that you want me to be? Dear Father, Father, every single one of us has ways that we need to grow. And Lord, I thank You for Your word so clearly pointing out things to us. And I pray that this week, as we see children, because we all will encounter children, I pray that You would remind us of the truths that we have talked about in Your word. And I pray, Father, You would help us imagine. You would help us ask. Because God, when we're coming to You, You are going to change us and transform us. And You're going to make us the people that You've called us to be. And Lord, we want to grow up. We do. And so I ask that You would help us realize it's time to do it. It's time to stop talking about it. It's time to stop thinking about it. It's time to do it. Father, change us. And we ask this in Your precious name. Amen.
It is time to fix our eyes on Jesus. It is time to set our minds on things above. It's time to throw off everything that hinders, time to pray and never cease. It is time to love each other. each other deeply. It is time to overflow with thankfulness. It's time to run and not grow weary. It is time to have the mind of Christ. I seek you, Lord, with all my heart. Do not let me stray. Time to live as children of light. It is time to be holy because He is holy. Time to humble yourself.
Children of light. Good night.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.